Hello, 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 and welcome to episode one of Ill-Informed Media Literacy. I'm your host, Eli Krobe, and I'm joined with my co-host,
Lance Erickson.
And we have a special guest on today, my dad, actually, Jake Krobe. So, Jake, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you do?
So, I went to college for media. So, I studied communications in college at University in Storm Lake. And then I spent about almost 25 years in the newspaper industry. A couple of years ago, I sold my business and am now a marketing person and lender at Mount Vernon Bank and Trust. But again, most of my career was in the media industry.
Okay, and then I guess we start with the obvious question. What do you think is the most important part about media literacy that soon-to-be adults should know?
I think the number one issue is to know the source of the information. Even 10, 15 years ago, maybe even shorter than that, we all had pretty much common media. So we were all watching the same newscasts on TV, pretty much. We were all, if we read a newspaper, we were all reading pretty much the same newspapers. And then the internet came along. And social media. So now we don't really have much of a common media. There are thousands and thousands of people who are creating content that we are consuming as media. So I think the number one issue is really to know what the source is of anything that you're reading. Is this somebody's opinion? You know, in the newspaper days, it was pretty obvious. You went to the opinion page. This is somebody's opinion. Is this somebody who has a good enough background to tell this kind of story? So I think number one is to really think about the source of information. And in today's world, you probably need to look at maybe multiple sources if you're interested in a particular topic or you're reading about a particular story, is to look at multiple sources and say, okay, how does this all jive? So in many ways, it's gotten very difficult to know, you know, what are the facts and what aren't the facts, because there's just so much information out there.
What do you think would be a good way to, like, could tell, like, what is a good source and what is a bad source?
Well, I think it's okay to still go to the, for lack of a better word, legacy sources. So if you want to know about what's going on in Mount Vernon, Lisbon, you go to the Mount Vernon, Lisbon Sun newspaper. If you want to know what's going on in the Cedar Rapids metro area, you go to the Gazette. If you want to know what's going on in the state, you can go to the Des Moines Register. So I think those legacy media is still very valuable. They have trained people who are writing the stories and covering the stories, and they are going to have the right background to tell in a fair way. In a factual way. Now, that's not to say they're not all, you know, sometimes they're going to mess up, but I've never met a media person in my experience that is out, you know, to color something in a particular way. So I think that's the first tip, is go to a source that makes sense. How was I going to get my hands on a newspaper that was going to tell me that story? So I'm not saying it's inherently bad. It's just that it has given you quick access at your fingertips to so many things. And again, I think it's more of the social media aspect, because you're seeing news that you perceive to be news shared by your friends, and it might not be news. So as an example, when you see something, you know, another tip, I guess, would be you see something on the internet, I would say the first thing is go beyond the headline. I have a great example from this weekend, and I think Eli was even in the car when this happened, is it shows up on Facebook, a picture of Mount Vernon's own Tristan Wirfs, and the headline was, "The New York Jets' first pick in the 2020 NFL draft is Tristan Wirfs of Iowa." Okay, that started to get shared wildly in our friend circle, and most of our friends in social media are Mount Vernon, Lisbon people. So they're sharing it. Well, if you read the story came from a source called GangreneNation.com. It was a sports nut. Pretty good story. It was mainly a story about Tristan Wirfs and who he is. I don't think the author interviewed anybody. Probably pulled the information from other stories that had been written about Tristan Wirfs. And at the very end, it even said, in conclusion, Tristan Wirfs has all the criteria, blah, 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 to be the first draft pick of the New York Jets. Now, Tristan hasn't made an announcement that he's forgoing his senior season into Iowa, and the draft hasn't even happened. So there's so many variables that could happen, but the headline sort of pulled you in. So I think a lot of times we see these things and we go, oh, did you see that this happened? And whether it's with politics or sports or pop culture. So I think the first tip is really go beyond the headline. If you see a headline that's kind of titillating and, oh, man, that's interesting, you know, read the story and you might find out that it's just clickbait. And I think it's being savvy enough to know that, in this case, I don't know if it was clickbait or not, but clickbait is essentially false advertising, where it will say things like, you'll never have to clean your shower again. And you're thinking, oh, this is a great story about, you know, cleaning my bathroom or whatever. And you click on it and it's an ad for something. And, you know, a lot of times that stuff is trying to get you to, you know, maybe infect your computer or something. But it's similar with headlines. I think the media has been criticized for eons over headlines, over the TV news. You know, up at 10, we're going to tell you about this, and you get all excited about it. Well, they want you to read the story, so you can't get too angry about it. But I think anymore, there's such a fight for your attention that these headlines are going to be just far out in left field. And I think you really need to look beyond the headlines.
And you touched on social media a little bit, like how kind of clickbait, how it's just being shared by your friends. Do you think there is a clear-cut solution to helping media along in the sense that it's so that way people aren't just like, oh, it's on the media, it's obviously not, it's obviously fake news or it's obviously real news? Do you think there's a solution to breaking that stigma, and if so, what is it?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I hate to be an old fuddy-duddy, but I think that in the past, the news was filtered. And now some people might say, well, that, you know, it was filtered and that it gave the left's take or gave the right's take or whatever. But I'm saying that there are professionals who filtered the news. There were editors who read the story before it was published. And there were producers who watched the story before it made the news. Now there's no filter for some of this stuff. So now that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, in terms of, you know, I think it's opened up the ability for people to tell stories without having to go through a publisher. But, you know, I think Facebook really has a role in this. They are the number one media company in the world, you could argue, and they can create no content of their own. It's just other people's content. So, you know, I think we have to really think about this. You know, for years, you know, people were, you know, leery of the government, and you wanted to make sure that, hey, I have my own individual rights. And now with social media and some of the fake news and even news that's just sensational, people are really letting it control their lives, and they're not able to make decisions on their own. So it's just recognizing that when you're on social media, you know, there's a very high likelihood that what's shared could be fake news or misinformation, particularly if it doesn't come from a source that you consider to be trustworthy.
So online, you have a whole bunch of, like, the news stories, like Fox News, et cetera, stuff
sure.
like that. So like I said before the podcast, I wanted, like, a whole bunch of information to then decide which side or, like, my opinions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because I am not as educated as, like, older people above me who can clearly tell what is left and what is right, what are some, like, basic things you could tell the audience of, like, this stuff is left and this stuff is right, so then they know, like, okay, I want to know more about this side and then a little bit more about this side, and then take the information together and then figure out, like, this is my opinion. It's like, it's basically, how can we help them pick which side they want, or, you know.
Well, I mean, clearly there are publications, and I use that word not in terms of a newspaper standpoint, but more of a online sites or whatever, that are one way or the other. They are saying, you know, this is our mission, is to tell the story of the left. This is our mission, to tell the story of the right. And, you know, I'd much rather prefer that they say that up front and say, okay, now if I want to know what they're thinking, I'll go over here. I don't necessarily buy, you know, people say, well, Fox News is conservative, and certainly, you know, if you watch it enough, you'll see that most of their stories kind of have this conservative flavor to them. But, you know, I don't know that they're right wing. I mean, that's a tough decision right there, to say, oh, if I want to know what's happening on the right, I better watch Fox News, and if I want to know what's happening on the left, I better watch MSNBC. I think it's a matter of saying, if you see something about someone, read the other, you know, search for other stories about it, and see if all the facts are the same. That's a good question, and that's the toughest one probably, is you know, what media is this and what media is that.
So just to recap, is try to find all sides of the story, not just like, oh, not just one side of the circle. You want the entire 360 degrees.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I think you need to really, again, search for multiple sources of information on maybe a particular topic. But recognize that sometimes they have the same, the reporters who are doing those stories have the same sources. So if the story is about the Iran issue and this publication quotes the Pentagon and this publication quotes the Pentagon, well, then you gotta, you know, you have to decide whether you believe the Pentagon or not. Because they are gonna, you know, use similar information. But again, I still think the biggest issue is just that there are a lot of people that are spreading news out there that's not, you know, not incredibly forthright.
And then final question to circle it back around. So I know at the beginning we talked about social media and like how, well, like the big companies can do. I guess to circle it back around, what do you think we as individuals, kids entering college, high school, graduating seniors, going into the workforce, what do you think we can do as an individual to help stop spreading of quote-unquote fake news or all that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I think before sharing something on social media, you want to make sure, you know, you feel like it's trustworthy. It's no different than coming into school on a weekend and you know, you'd heard something about some party, and next thing you know, you're telling everybody, oh, so-and-so did this at this party, and you really don't know. So I think it's being careful to share things. And I still think it's quite all right, if you want to be an informed citizen, to go to the legacy media and go to it regularly and start digesting it. So whether that's, you know, your favorite area newspaper or even the nightly news, because I think you'll at least get some consistency, and maybe you'll find out that that's not the kind of source that you want. That's fine, but I think that's another thing you can do. But again, I think it mainly comes down to, you know, don't be a part of sharing information if you don't know it, that it's a good thing to share. And I bring up this Tristan Wirf story as an example. It was shared crazily, and it didn't. Again, it was a marvelous, it was a nice story about a hometown boy, but the story was not about him being the first pick in the NFL draft by the Jets. So that got shared pretty wildly, and people thought, oh, well, that's true. I saw that headline.
All right, Elena, is there anything you want to talk about before we're done here, I guess? Anything you want to mention?
No, again, I would just conclude with, you know, find a media source that you enjoy and go to it often and support it. People who are telling stories for a living have been trained to do so, and in my heart of hearts, I think they're trying their best to inform citizens, and that's going to be your best place to turn to for news. And do it intentionally, as opposed to just scrolling through Twitter and going, oh, what's the news today? I mean, think about, okay, I need to be informed about this. I'd like to go to some sources to do that, whether it's the election or whatever it might be. Is, hey, I need to be informed about this. So do it intentionally as opposed to just letting it be thrown at you.
Alrighty, well, thanks, Jake, and this is episode one of Ill-Informed Media Literacy, and these are your hosts, Eli Krobe and Lance Erickson, signing off.